And of course, we need to apply this appreciative mode to people. If we're very honest, drastically honest, and it's difficult to be even a little bit honest, and it's extremely difficult to be drastically honest. If we're really, truly honest, we'd have to admit that we use people. I hope I'm not just projecting my own state onto you all. We use people. We use people. Even our near and dear ones, perhaps especially our near and dear ones, we use them. Use them for comfort, support, pleasure. Use them to get on in life, to get somewhere. If we're very honest, if we have a good look, we might well discover that probably all our close relationships are contractual. There's a kind of unconscious contract, a kind of mutual using going on. We get something from each other. So to that extent, to the extent that that's there, the relationship is not one of growth and freedom. We can often kid ourselves that our relationships are, of course, pure. You know, no, I love her or I love him. It's not for myself, you know, it's for her. You know, especially if we're overwhelmed with, you know, being in love. You know, it really does feel completely selfless. I know, because I've been there. Yes, we can sort of kill ourselves, but if we come down to it, that we have to acknowledge, well, actually, we're using. We love them, we're friendly to them, not for themselves, but for ourselves, from what we get from it. The big test, of course, the big challenge, is when we or the other person changes in such a way that we can't use them in the way that we've been unconsciously using them anymore. We can't get what we want. We don't get what we want. It's taken away. And our love, our so-called love and friendliness, turns very quickly, well, to grief, confusion, pain, hate, jealousy, and all that. I hope I'm not sounding too drastic. I'm just trying to get us to kind of look at what goes on. This using of people pervades probably all our relationships, including those that we say are in the Sangha with us. Our so-called spiritual friendships. Sometimes the using of others, you using them, they using you, is so extreme, you have to get away from that relationship because you just can't see each other as you are. So there's no growth, no freedom within that framework. But more often than not, it's really a matter of transformation, of changing perception. Changing perception leading to changed behaviour, leading in turn to a transformation of perception again. And the practice here, of course, is metta, the development of loving kindness, beginning with simple friendliness and maitri. Cultivating, moving towards cultivating a non-self-interested friendliness. Loving kindness, true metta, true loving kindness, is really an attempt to see others as they are in themselves. So the metta bhavana practice is not about pumping up a feeling good about people. You can sort of use people in your metta bhavana. Oh yeah, I love them. That makes me feel so good about myself because I love everybody. What you're really trying to do in the metta bhavana is to look and see with a gentle warmth. Yes, it might become very intense and deep as time goes on, but at the beginning, you just look and see with gentle warmth the person as they are in themselves. Whoever arises in the meditation, yourself, your friend, the neutral person, the enemy. You're looking deeper and depths, greater depths will arise. You sort of let them emerge more fully into your friendly awareness. That's what you're doing in the metta bhavana practice. Seeing them more and more deeply as they are in themselves, independent of what you can get from them. And this brings up the whole wonderful Mahayana teaching of the levels of friendliness, the levels of Maitri, the levels of metta. They say, well, first of all, of course, you begin with people. It's loving kindness for people. You have to see people as they are in themselves. You have to see, well, that as they are in themselves begins with seeing them, well, they're like you insofar as they want to avoid pain and they want to feel happiness. So, you know, because they want that, you wish them happiness. You wish them well. So you start on that level. But then, of course, as you look more deeply, you see that that person is a changing person. Well, they're impermanent. They grow. They age. They go through all sorts of states and moods. They're not a fixed person at all. They're a flow of states, a flow of dharmas, which doesn't mean seeing them, almost sort of scientifically, but it's more that you see them, they're changing. They're a changing being. So when you see them, it's a deeper seeing of them as they are, and your love becomes more effective. Your love becomes deeper. But then they say there's an even further level, which is love for shunyata, love which is emptiness, if you like. It's not that there's nothing, but it's more that you realise, actually, other people are utterly inconceivable. You can't find the words to say what another is. They just stand there in their uniqueness, in their beauty, and you cannot find words for that. You see glimpses of this in what came to my mind when I was writing this, was thinking about this, was a painting that's in the Courtauld Gallery in London. It's of a painting by Cézanne, quite a famous man, of an old man with a pipe. A man with a pipe. He's got this hat and pipe stuck into his mouth. He's just a very ordinary old man from Cézanne's town, I guess. I think he's also in his famous painting of the card players. He's just an ordinary bloke and, probably nobody particularly, cultured or developed, but just an old man. But when you look at that painting, you realise it's a painting painted with metta and painted with real seeing into, seeing beyond notions of that person. And this old man kind of arises, if you like, as the expression of the inconceivable nature of life, of living beings, of people. This is what you're aiming for in the Metta Bhavana practice, for everyone, in the end. So friendliness, friendship, is incredibly important for cleansing the doors of perception. And of course, when metta flows freely between people, where there's no coercion, no demand, no using, well, that's a very wonderful thing. And that's when you really have sangha. And this is a very important value and ideal for us in the order. It's something we really prize and live for, and indeed fall away from and fail in, as we know. But also, we do experience. I've certainly experienced this mutuality of loving kindness, where I'm not feeling used and I'm not using others, where there's just very free-flowing loving kindness. So metta bhavana, the practice of friendship, friendliness, sangha, in the true sense, is a way of cleansing the doors of perception. Reminds me of a wonderful passage from a great Christian writer, English Christian writer named Alred of Revo, where he has a wonderful passage where he describes sitting with his community in his monastery in Revo Abbey in the north of England, and realising that his spirit and the spirit of all those fellow monks just flowed into one another. They were just transparent to one another. He said he realised that there was no one he didn't love and no one that didn't love him. So it formed a wonderful, beautiful garland.